Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. If you read the New Testament, Jesus and the disciples are often casting demons out of people. And I thought we better do a show on this because, you know, where's that happening today? We have brought in kind of an expert. His name is Dan Zimiot. Welcome, Dan.
Yes, thank you.
And Dan, for 40 years, has been doing what's called deliverance ministry, dealing with the satanic, the demonic, and for 30 minutes now, we're going to pick his brain on this subject. So thanks, Dan, for coming.
Yes.
And you've been doing this for 40 years in the Twin Cities.
That's correct.
Before we get into demon possession and all that kind of thing, how did you become a Christian?
Actually, at the age of 12 years old, first my father was Catholic, my mother was Lutheran, so I can talk Catholic and Lutheran with everybody.
That's my situation. Yeah. Yeah.
But 1962, at a Billy Graham crusade at the fairgrounds, we went as a family, and I walked forward, and I said the prayer, filled out the books and things, and you know, they send you things back in the mail, so I'd fill that out. But that was probably the first exposure, and over the next 7 years, it was kind of like, was that real? Did that really happen? And when I was age 19 years old, I was in a carpentry apprenticeship. And we were working out of International Falls, and I know that God was trying to bring me back to that time, and I just kind of, I'm young. But on the way up Highway 61, this was before the freeways, my buddy was driving this big truck. I'm reading a sports magazine, and I hear a voice, and this voice just says out loud, it just said, prepare yourself to die. I looked around in the cab, and it wasn't my buddy talking. And I knew it was God talking to me. I dropped that magazine, and I said, Lord, forgive me and save me. That's all I said.
Mm.
And that millisecond after I said, I raised my head back up, and there's a 56 Chevy coming right across the center line and hit us head on. Ooh. We rolled that truck three times, went down a hill. The man that hit us was killed instantly.
Oh, my.
My buddy the windshield, but that day,
did he die?
I got saved. No, my friend, he lived, but he was just busted up. But the man that hit us was killed instantly.
Wow.
I stayed in the cab and rolled around, and I figured that was God's wake-up call. Dan, yeah. We're going to do it my way.
Wow.
But I learned that day that God was who he said he was, and he had a purpose for my life.
Yes.
And I didn't know what that purpose was yet, but that was That was my Damascus Road experience.
How did you eventually end up doing all this deliverance ministry? For those that don't know, it's casting out of demons, dealing with the demonic. How did that come into your life?
Well, I was married just a couple of weeks later after this accident, and I've been married 47 years, three daughters, my oldest now that's 44. But I did not choose this ministry. We're Christians. We go to an evangelical church. We sing in the choir, and I'm trustees, worked with kids groups. But we had our first daughter, and things that would happen in our home, when she learned to talk, and she never talked baby talk, she would talk in full sentences as like a year old. But she would say things like, I hate Christians. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you don't know what hatred is. You don't know what a Christian is, what's in our home. And things escalated from that point. And we thought maybe it was food allergies or this or that. But strange things were happening in our home that we couldn't explain. And at about age four, after we'd gone through all the medical side of everything, I took our little girl to our church, and I said to our pastor, I says, I think our little girl is possessed. And he just kind of laughed at me, and he said, well, that's impossible. It can't be. You're Christians. And I said, I know what you're telling me, but I know what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And something is not adding up here. You see, our reality did not match his theology.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so understand, I talked to another man at church, Reuben, he's the other co-founder of Lighthouse. And I called this pastor up too, and I said, I know you don't believe in this, but you're coming over and we're going to deal with this. You see, my daughter would talk about a different grandpa that would visit. She'd get up in her bedroom and walk around in circles, smash her knuckles together. Couldn't say the name Jesus. But understand, this is a little girl that had accepted Jesus Christ into her life. She could sing all the Jesus songs, go to Sunday school, but that's when she was awake. When she would go to sleep, there's a heaviness, a darkness in our home, noises, all kinds of things. Well, I told the pastor and this other elder, you're going to come over, we're going to deal with this. And we stood around her bed about midnight, and looking back, we probably did all the wrong things. But God freed my little girl that night because we dared to do something.
Mm-hmm.
God can honor something.
And what happened?
And she was free. The influence was gone.
Okay. Never came back?
No. Well, 3 weeks later, it tried to interfere one more time. He said, you're never coming back. You're gone. You're not welcome here.
Wow.
But it led me on a journey then of, okay, the churches have no help, but I believe God's word has the answer to every dilemma in life.
Yeah.
And if I could just share just another minute or so on this. My little girl was freed that night because we dared to do something. And most people in churches, we just kind of hope this goes away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, understand, I'm not fighting for somebody that lives under a bridge. I'm not fighting for somebody that lives in Africa or China. This is a Christian little girl in a Christian home. What is in our home? So I didn't know anything about spiritual warfare except one thing, that the Lord Jesus Christ was bigger than Satan. I started on page one. I thought, this book will give me answers. I only got in 2 pages to Genesis chapter 3, and the Satan guy already shows up.
He sure does.
But I kept reading, and I thought, man, Satan is here throughout. So I read through Scripture, the whole thing. I want answers.
Yeah.
There was, I understand, 40-some years ago, this was a pretty taboo subject.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to Exodus chapter 20, and you'll recognize this as the Ten Commandments. And this is God speaking. He said, I will allow the iniquity to visit down to the third and fourth generation of those that hate me. Now, perhaps that doesn't mean anything to you today or listeners. That was my answer. I knew what that was talking about. You see, my grandmother was steeped into witchcraft on my father's side.
Mm-hmm.
She did it professionally. She had a crystal ball and did tarot cards, readings, put curses on people. And I always thought, well, that was Grandma. She chose her life, but we're Christians and we choose ours. But God said, understand, this is not Job, this is not Paul, this is God. He said, I will allow that iniquity to visit down to the third and fourth generation. We were visited with the sins of our forefathers. And many times in the Old Testament or New Testament, it says, confess the sins of your forefathers.
Mm-hmm.
We're not responsible for the consequences. And today, I know that's real because we use terms, we say, you're just like your father, you're just like your mother. It runs in the family.
Yeah.
Well, things can run in the family.
Yeah.
And evil is one of them.
So that's how you think your daughter had this stuff, hadn't
you? We had to break the curses
and how
of
did
our
you,
lineage.
And tell me how you did that, in prayer or with people around? Let's say somebody comes to your office for a session with you. What do you do?
First thing we introduce them to is probably the key verse for this ministry, and if people don't remember anything about today, is James 4:7. This is written to Christians. It says, submit therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee. It's one of the few verses in Scripture that comes with a promise.
Uh-huh.
You do this, I'll do this. But what I find that there's a lot of people that we know how to submit to God, but we don't know how to resist the devil. We know how to pray, but we don't know how to fight. And submission is a vertical thing. It's surrender. Okay, God, my plan isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
But then it says, and resist the devil. I read that 40 years ago and I thought, okay, it just told me to do that, so how do I do this?
Yeah.
You know, Scripture really doesn't come right out and say.
Okay.
And yet in several places it says resist.
Uh-huh.
So what I did, I looked up every place written in red where Jesus came against Satan, evil spirits, legion, the demonics. Every time in every place where Jesus confronted evil, words are used like this. He said, he spoke, he resisted, he rebuked, he renounced. What's the pattern here? How did Jesus resist the devil? He did it verbally, and he did it with authority, and it was never prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I learned you can't pray the devil away. God has given us the authority of his name in Luke 11, the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But the instruction I give people is to pray with them. Yes, it's always prayer first.
Yeah.
But then teach them how to resist.
So can a Christian cast demons out of himself?
You can. It's a self-deliverance.
What do you do? What do you say?
I tell people that I'm capable of messing up all by myself. I don't even need Satan's help.
Yeah.
There can be sin in a person's life. Confession, you're free of it. But when it's like addiction, compulsion, when it's excessive behaviors, where you no longer control it, it controls you. But the rules are the same. We submit, therefore, to God and resist the devil. How? Verbally and with authority.
So what do you say? I'm just curious.
All right. I would, to follow with words, let's pick a subject. Let's, alcoholism, all right?
Okay.
By the way, you go by a liquor store and it says wine and spirits. What do you think the spirits are? It says right on the building. Okay, Father in heaven, I don't say it's a demon of alcohol, but a compulsion addiction. Father, I'm addicted. Counseling isn't working. Medication isn't working. I need to break this hold, and I can only do it with the authority that you've given me over this. And I ask you to remove this from me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's the first part. That's the submission part.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And then identify it as a personality. Even the military is picking up our Lighthouse stuff and others where there's a personality behind every temptation. But all right, so spirit behind this alcoholism, this addiction, compulsion. Now, first, before I would say spirit behind, Scripture says to bind the strong man. Satan is called the strong man. The strong man sets up strongholds. So I would speak out something like this. Satan, I take authority over you, from Luke 10, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't use just Jesus' name. I have met false Jesus, false Christ. They're out there.
Okay.
There's only one Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
With the titles and the credentials. So Satan, I take authority over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind you. I'd like to talk about that from Matthew 16 if we have time, but I bind you. I take authority over you. You loose me. I break your curses, your commissions, and your orders over me in this area. I say the Lord rebuke you. You'll recognize that from the book of Jude. We're instructed that we can resist the devil. And according to Luke 10, it says he must flee, or James 4:7, excuse me. Satan, be gone.
And
be gone.
And do you say that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ?
And, I say it. I don't think it.
Okay.
Okay. Spiritual warfare is verbal.
So you say it out loud.
Out loud.
And when people come to you for deliverance, do you cast demons out of them in Jesus' name? Or does that?
I use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a questionnaire that people fill in, and it's usually about a 2 to 3 hour time frame where we have a questionnaire where they fill out, have you ever, and so forth. It's kind of a starting point, but most people know where they're losing in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't take a questionnaire.
Yeah.
But the instruction about submitting to God and resisting the devil. Now, when Jesus said, be gone or come out, that's not prayer. That's a declaration.
Okay.
That's a statement.
What if somebody does that
and
then they fall back with booze again? Well, then what do they do?
You know, I've seen deliverance last 3 minutes. I've seen it last 30 years. Because it says, if you have faith of a mustard seed, which most people do. Mm-hmm. It says, you speak to the mountains and you command them to go. So I asked people, what are the mountains in your life? It doesn't say pray about the mountains. Why are we praying about the mountains in your life? It's not even scriptural. Mm-hmm. Where it says, you speak to the mountains. Okay. So I want them to verbalize daily.
Yeah.
This submission, resistance, and
so when you get tempted to verbally rebuke the thing, but again, if somebody falls, okay, after they've done that, what do you do?
You go right back, Father.
Do it again.
I fell.
Do it again.
I fell.
Yep.
And understand, after we take authority over Satan and command him to flee, that's scriptural.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and he will flee.
Mm-hmm.
Then I say, spirit behind this addiction, this compulsion, I bind you. You loose me and you go to the pit of hell in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And you do it as often as you have to in life.
You bet. And I tell you, for most people, 90% of people that come in the lighthouse, it's a one-time deal. We'll never see them again.
Really? Okay.
Maybe there's 8% that come in a second, third time.
Okay.
Maybe 1% or 2% we'll see five times. But most people, once they understand that they have authority over Satan and evil spirits, Satan's afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
In Colossians 2, it says that Satan is defeated, disabled, and disarmed. He lost, but he's not dead. In fact, he's quite unleashed today. And the best-kept secret in Christianity is this spiritual warfare. But you see, we'd rather pray about it instead.
Okay.
We'd rather try to, we go to counseling. And I'm not discounting counseling.
Right, yep. In fact, you've got books we'll show in a minute.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dan, so if somebody is attacked... Well, first of all, I've heard that you've got to determine if the problem is 5'8" or 8'5". Is this my flesh? Is this just my sinning? Or is there actually something demonic going on? Do you really need to know?
Well, I think the discernment where God will show you, and I believe to be in this ministry, I have to have discerning of spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask God to show me the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6 says that Satan has a strategy and a scheme. And that's what my prayer is. Father, show me Satan's strategy against this person. And a lot of people, they say, oh, you think there's a demon behind every bush. No, they're not behind the bushes. They're out to defeat God's people. And by the way, spiritual warfare, this deliverance ministry thing, is only for Christians.
Mm-hmm.
What would be in a non-Christian to keep an evil spirit out? What would be in a non-Christian to prevent one from coming back?
Yeah.
So as the enemy is evicted from areas of our life, we then fill that area with the Holy Spirit, that the house is swept clean, in order, but occupied. But the thing is to establish the warfare pattern. And that's why it's called spiritual warfare.
So let's do that again. A guy has a drinking problem, pornography problem, you know, you fill in the blank, gossip. A woman has a gossip problem.
Yeah.
You renounce it and you verbally, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to get out of here, leave me alone, and do that as often as you have to do it.
Yeah.
Anything else that you'd want to advise on this?
Well, the thing is, if it's the flesh that we're involved in temptations, you see, temptation is not a demon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're subject to failure. But if you can't run away from it, if you can't turn and walk away, we have to consider, has Satan gained an advantage here?
Yeah.
But to tell people to put on the armor of God, to take it up, to stand firm, submit to God, and it says, and resist the devil, and he will flee.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've seen that there's, as believers, there's a lot of people, they're saved, but they're not free. They have eternal life, but they don't have abundant life.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, I came that you might have life and might have it more abundantly.
And the way you get the abundant life and victory over the flesh, sin, death, the devil, is by standing on the authority of the Word of God and commanding things when you need to. Is that basically?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But verbalizing it, commanding it.
And how important is it to get another human being involved in it?
I have a staff of 10 people, and we have women meet with women, men with men. I try to have two people meet with one. That's a minimum.
Okay.
And is there power in numbers? Jesus sent out in twos. So.
And I bet you do a lot of confession absolution, where people tell you their sins and you assure them through Christ there's forgiveness and healing. Do you do that a lot in your ministry?
You know, that's probably where we start. But the first thing is I ask them, are you even a Christian?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that want the monkey off their back, but they don't want Jesus either. You know, so I have to make sure, but the fun part about this, the opportunity to lead a lot of people to the Lord.
Amen.
And to tell them, look, now Satan is afraid of you, and I want to keep it that way.
Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees.
You bet.
Well, you've written a few books on this, Victorious Spiritual Warfare, Ganando la... You have one in Mexican here, or Spanish?
Spanish.
Return to the Battlefield, Spiritual Warfare. And if people are interested, we're going to keep talking, but real quick, if somebody wants to know more about your ministry, how do they find out, or maybe they need an appointment, how do they find out about this?
Well, we've got an appointment line locally, and as much as I don't like the internet, it's been a great tool. I've gotten calls from China, Germany, and I tell people, rather than flying in, can you just spend an hour and a half on the phone with me?
Yeah.
And God shows up on the phone.
Sure.
But
and where's your website?
The website is info@lighthouseministry.
Yep.
intl.org. There's a local phone number, things attached online, and for information. Currently, we're in 9 languages.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got 4 more in the works right now.
And we, you and I met many, many years ago.
Oh, it's 20-some years ago.
Yeah, and you know, Dan, and I was trying to find your phone number months ago, wanting to do this program, and out of the blue, you called me. So I think this is a God thing. But why is it that you and a couple other people, to my knowledge, are the only ones doing this kind of ministry in the Twin Cities area? Why are so few churches into this?
I think the fear factor, so many of our churches, we've replaced the power of God with programs. It's like, you know, God is in this place. If you don't believe me, look at the size of these speakers. You know, where we are about loud music, potluck dinners. We've got a lot of programs.
Okay.
But I applaud, you know, Scripture says, by their fruit you shall know them. Not by their gifts, by their fruit. And so churches that are they're into a lot of good and growing and healthy and family life. But the thing is, how about the tormented person?
Amen.
Who's helping them? Now, I get a lot of calls from pastors, even counselors. Counselors will send us some of their hardest cases.
Uh-huh.
And the person goes back free, and pretty soon the counselor themselves comes in.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Oh, yeah. But we meet with a lot of pastors and missionaries as well. Who's the biggest target? If Satan can take out a man or woman of God.
Yeah, that's right.
He's accomplished a lot.
That's right.
And then, and who does a pastor or a missionary go to when they have a problem?
That's right.
And
And when you do all this, how often do kind of weird supernatural stuff happen? Is it frequent, the word somebody growls, or, you know, or is that pretty rare?
Well, anymore it's rare, because Satan and evil spirits, no, we have authority over them. It's a lot of ministries that I've seen are like a 3-ring circus. Somebody flips over in their chair, they vomit, they go out the window, and they've been watching too much TV.
The Exorcist movie is not a good model for anything.
No, it's not, but I've seen a lot of things like that.
Yeah, okay.
I tell people, and this is true, I've probably met Satan at least 3 times himself. And he's come in the form of a beautiful woman, a child, a straggly man. And I tell you, you can get into some combative language and talk and stuff. But the first time that happened, Reuben and I met with this lady for 42 hours, which is unheard of. But I don't give up and I don't back down. You see, I'm fighting for a little girl that belongs to Jesus. And I won. And so at the end of this time, I'm, Lord, what is going on here? And I felt the Lord say, this is Satan. So I'm getting, this is 40 years ago, I'm getting thrown around by this lady that weighs half as much as I do. And I just said, Satan, it's you. He sat down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked at me and he smiled. And he said, I suppose you're going to write a book now. But isn't that what happens in our Christian life? People have a few experiences and they go write a book. I could write lots of books about what I've seen over the years. And this
is what happened. What happened?
Well, the lady was freed.
Okay.
The lady was freed. Satan was found out. But you see, God used that as a teaching tool for us, that this is no joke.
Yeah.
This is real. This is for today.
And I want to tell you, Dan, I was raised Missouri Synod Lutheran, very conservative. My pastor taught demons are really epilepsy in the New Testament. Well, that doesn't fly, because how come the epileptics know who Jesus is when nobody else does? I learned the hard way when I was 18. This stuff is real.
You bet.
And so even conservative churches aren't taking it seriously sometimes. And you know, I'm sorry, we've got a minute and a half.
That's it?
That's it. But one more time, Dan, if somebody needs help in this area, you've got some books here, or just go to your website at info@lighthouseministryintl.org. And thanks so much for being this. But you know, we've only got a minute, but would you pray for people watching this? Would you just take a minute and pray?
What I want to say first is, if you are experiencing evil influences or afflictions in your life, there's help for you. Those of you that have the addictions and the compulsions, there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you the keys to the kingdom of God, of the binding and loosing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we started with putting on the armor of God. Take it up and stand firm. This is for real. I believe you want to set captives free. I believe the spiritual warfare thing is preparing the bride of Christ. You're coming back. And you want the church to be cleaned up. Mm-hmm. And Father, things like depression, you call a spirit of heaviness. And fears and doubts and sin patterns, God, we can break through these all in your name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I just say amen. And now this is not a prayer, friends. Satan, I take authority over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For those that are listening today, I bind you. You loose them. And you flee, and they will find freedom in Christ. You be gone. You be gone. You go where the Lord Jesus Christ tells you to. I break your curses. I pull down your strongholds. I cast out your imaginations. Be gone, because God says so.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
God bless you. And we don't have a show like this every day.
This was
far. But he's been doing this for 40 years. I wanted to get him on
the
show.
Far too short.
Everybody, God bless you. Go to that website and see, or go to our website if you want to watch this show again. They're all there to see anytime you like. Pray for us in our ministry. Pray for Dan and his ministry. And we'll see you next time at the Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching the Pastor's Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org. Or write The Pastor's Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.